Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. Hey, in today's episode, I have a treat for you. You're going to hear me live coach one of my clients who's in my Million Dollar Seller program. Her name is Corrine, and she's a business development manager for a software company in the construction and architect and development area. And she has a few issues she's struggling with, and I thought you'd like to hear how I coach people. So here is my coaching session with Corrine, who's in the Million Dollar Seller program. We're speaking on the coaching session today with Corrine M, and she will remain anonymous. She is a business development manager for a company. We'll get into that a little bit, but I wanted to have Corrine on. She is a member of our Million Dollar Seller community, which she just started here in the last 30 days. And so I want, first off, how did you happen to enroll in the Million Dollar Seller? And then we'll get to the issue that you brought to the table today, Corrine.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on. So far, the course has been really great, but I came across the course because I followed the podcasts. So the Advanced Selling Podcast, and then I got followed the groups on LinkedIn, and I got more and more into it. And it just so happens I did the podcast or the webinar for the year end, so planning the year, and that led to this.
Okay. So, yeah, we did the personal business planning session. So you were on that, and then we made an offer. Okay, good, good.
Exactly.
So why don't, since we've labeled this as a coaching session and you've brought an issue or two, why don't we just get into it and you tell me what maybe you are unsure of or uncertain or unclear or frustrated with in your whole process, and then let's see if I can help you at all.
Okay, so I can give some background information as to how I got into this role too, just so they understand what I'm dealing with a bit. So I've been in the role for 4 months now. I've come from a corporate selling environment, let's say, and I've also done startups. But this combines a bit of both. And the initial role is for me to create some form of machine, as I call it, that will bring in leads and that will, that I can also prospect. So have different ways of bringing in and talking to these clients.
Okay. So to create a machine that is not reliant upon one method or one channel, lots of different ways that prospects come to you or you go to them, correct?
Exactly. And it's almost, I got the luckiest position because I go in and he tells me I have all the clients coming in because of word of mouth and who I am and in the industry, but now I want to take it seriously and I want to build something. I see you have this expertise in the industry, so I give you free rein to do as you please and get these results in.
Okay. So your leader or manager, she has built the business by referral and word of mouth, and now she wants to expand it, and that's why they brought you in.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. So here's my first question. Whenever someone says, you have free reign, I'm like, okay, until I start to spend $20,000, and well, let's hold back those reins a little bit. So do you feel like if you brought her an idea, that she's pretty open to it?
They are open. Yes, he is very open.
He is her husband?
No, he is the
partner.
The owner and also my boss.
Okay, so it's not a she?
No.
Oh, why did I get that? Okay, I thought you said she. Sorry. Is owner and boss and says he's open and we'll see. Right.
Correct. He's very open. Obviously, it's a smaller company, so money, we're working within a budget. We don't have all the money in the world, right? We're starting off small, so it's about being more creative and testing things out that would potentially work.
Okay.
Back to the reason why I'm on this call is because I came across this program and it fell in my lap, and I'm so grateful it did because it created like you said, you have all this free reign, but then you have to have some boundaries or some working limitations or some structure that you put in to follow or build upon, right? You want, I want to start this in the structure well off so that everything else falls in properly. And I think that is the most difficult part, because whatever you do at the beginning, you don't want to have to restart.
So you've told me that your goal is to create a machine that generates leads. That's a big topic. We're probably not going to be able to get into that today. Number two, you're trying to figure out how to work within the confines of budget, because you're going to go to your leader and you're going to say, hey, we need to spend this money. And he's going to want to know, well, why and where and how, yes, and what's the return and all that. So we can talk about that a little bit at the end, but tell me what your specific issue is today.
So my specific issue today is I'm at the third week, the third module in the course at this moment. And so I've created something that I could potentially have as value to give to the people I prospect, which is a document. So it's an auto-diagnostic tool that they would fill out and have this conversation. And it also helps me prep the people before a call. So I'm trying to find a way that I can position this document when I'm actually cold calling these, the people I'm trying to reach.
Okay, so what's the value in the doc? So you're calling somebody, asking them basically to fill out something that will turn into what? What does that turn into for them?
So it starts the conversation within their company. So they can also give this to the people. Example, if I give it to the VP of construction, for example, and he might not be the right person, he'll pass it on so that I can have all the right people fill it out or sit around it and have that conversation. It doesn't take more than, let's say, 20 minutes.
Fill out.
Or have that conversation. But it's also something I can give free. So regardless of what I come across on the call, if they tell me, no, I don't have a meeting, well, it's something I can leave up and then follow up on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the assessment is, your thinking here is that that's your first move. When you talk to somebody on the phone, that the first move is having them fill this out.
So my first move would be initially to introduce myself and the company and what it does and try to book that call or discussion. And then this is the next step within that.
Okay. I don't dislike that. I'll just share with you, since you've been kind enough to give us an overview. I don't dislike the idea of an assessment or an auto diagnostic, as you call it. That's a clever, fancy word. but I want to make sure that we're not rushing that even, because if I'm going to spend time filling out something, I kind of want to get something for that, like an automated report or an automated conclusion or results or findings. I have what I call the findings and recommendation, but the auto, your assessment's not set up to give some kind of immediate findings, is it?
No.
Okay. It's just more of a precursor to a call.
It is. And the questions have been, they're more in-depth questions. So very, so they're made to make them reflect, to talk about maybe things that are a bit more difficult or that they haven't even thought of.
So this is good. What is the end result here? Is this a $5,000 sale, or is it a $500,000? What's the scope here? What are we talking about in terms of revenue? If somebody comes in, fills out this document, has a call with you or several calls with you, and they buy, what's the amount that they buy?
So it could be different, which makes my job a bit more difficult because it's so diverse. But I'm dealing with companies or targeting companies that are within 5 million to, let's say, 25 million. Okay. That would be my sweet spot. I'm not trying to get those big general contractors or developers, because they usually are already established.
Okay.
And have maybe some in-house version of what we're doing. So they're already ahead of their time.
Okay.
So we're trying to target.
What's the amount that you're selling?
So the way we structured it, it's either we would do a free analysis or just sell the analysis by itself, but then it's a long-term thing. So it's by year. Okay. And it would depend on what the client is trying to do.
Okay.
So for example, they're trying to hire us to redo their whole BIM processes, then that would be one thing. But we're looking at, let's put a number on it and say 10,000.
Okay. So that's not very much, meaning you're not going to be able to spend a lot of time up front with somebody who's going to buy $10,000 worth of stuff. Is that fair? I mean, there's some cost. There's some cost to it. It's probably a high margin.
Yes.
Item, because it's information, right? You're not shipping products.
No, it's very niche, and it's a lot of where we'd have a kickoff meeting as well, and we have to bring in the people. So it's by departments. So it's very, we're very involved. So we're partnering with them to get to a certain end in their journey.
Okay. Well, let's start talking about some solutions here. I think we understand the situation, and you're confined a little bit by the ticket. If you were to set $100,000 and it's a 80% profit margin, I would have probably said, well, you can afford to create some kind of report after they do the assessment and walk them through it and shoot a video about it and create a nice cover page. I mean, you could afford to spend a couple grand on it, but at 10 grand, and I know you said that not everything is 10 grand. You just use it as an example. You don't have a lot of leeway there. Fair.
Yeah. And I'm new to the role too. So it's been 4 months. So there's a lot of things I'm learning as I go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like the idea of the assessment. I think that's good. My question would be, is there something in advance of that that you could do? Meaning, is there a document you could create that would say like the top 10 trends in niche, in the niche, top 5 trends facing every CFO in this niche or whatever your cohort is? I'm wondering if when you make this call, hey, this is Kareen from XYZ company. Let me tell you why I'm calling. You know, our company does X, Y, and Z. I'm reaching out to see if you'd have any interest in this. It feels a little rushed to go right to an assessment there.
Okay.
It feels a little bit like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't even know you existed. Now you're asking me and it depends on your saleswomanship, how you can get them moving in that direction. You might be able to, and I don't know your marketplace. Maybe people are like starved. They can't wait to do the next assessment that comes into their life. I don't know. But so I want you to think about something before the assessment, because I love the assessment. I'm just not sure it's first.
Okay.
Think about what are the, I'm sure that you could even interview your owner and say, look, let's talk about the 5 biggest trends that have the most impact in the construction business today as it relates to this product. Transcribe the interview, have somebody design it, turn it into a booklet or a document, and then give that away. So you're calling and saying, hey, you know what? I don't know if this is right for you. We've created a handout or whatever, a checklist of some things that we have found trends in the industry. They're going to be impacting you eventually. If they're not right now, would you like to get a copy of it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you make that call 100 times, 50 people, well, 50% of the people you talk to, you get on the phone, will say, well, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then you can pitch and say, look, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to send you this. We have an assessment that I'm not going to ask you to take now, but if you like what you see in the document, I will be calling you back to see if you would be open to taking an assessment and starting the process or some version of that. I think that feels a little bit more acceptable. Does that help you?
It does. I think also if they're receptive to have the meeting first, things can move at different speeds as well. So it's just to have a guideline or almost like the sales process that you talk about where I can pinpoint, okay, well, I do this at this point, and then just gives me a way compass back.
Yeah.
In alignment. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the hazards. And this is not just you. A lot of us have different products for different styles, different solutions, different problem sets. and you get into trouble because you go down one path with one product and then realize halfway down, oh, that's not the right, they need something else, something bigger and better. And so how do you frame this solution set, we'll call it, these products up front, so that at some point then you and they together decide, okay, well, let's go down this path. It sounds like, you know, this solution would be better, but I don't know that up front until I have some kind of dialogue. And the way you do that is to share with them, these are the three types of solutions we offer. I'd like to share those with you. And then you tell me if one appeals to you more than the other two.
Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting for me because when I, let's say prospect, it's so much easier to talk directly in front of a person when I'm explaining something that is more difficult. But when I'm prospecting, I have to make it concise enough to keep their attention, but very focused on the wording so that they understand what it is I'm selling.
Yeah, that's good. Talk about that.
So that's initially too what I'm having an issue with. Is just being able to say that in, let's say, 15 seconds when they pick up the phone, what it is I'm selling. And I've tried different things, and I went to the PCI trade show in Denver actually in February, and I had people say, I spoke to you yesterday, but I still don't know what you do. So, you know, so I had to rework it. And part of it was the course. I actually came across, you know, the ideal client and, you know, breaking down your offer and really dissecting it. And that, I think, helped me a lot where I came across, you know, and moved into the idea, okay, well, we're like the blueprint to technology within your company. And that aligns with the construction industry.
Mm-hmm. Blueprint.
So I'm trying to create a message related to that.
Well, what is it now? Let's talk about what it is. What Corinne is talking about in the Million Dollar Seller program, I spend a little bit of time up front talking about what is your offer, meaning what do you sell? And it's not just what do you sell like a product, but what's the meaning behind it? Why is it important to the prospect? How will it transform their life and their business? If we don't understand how our products and solutions will change the way they do business or feel about themselves or cash checks, then we don't have the full offer. We can't do the full offer. So that was what she was talking about, is that's one of the foundational elements of Million Dollar Sellers. Get your offer right. Get crystal clear on it. Are you crystal clear on your offer?
Oh, I am now.
Oh, you thought that was rhetorical.
Yes, exactly. I am now.
It could have been.
I think it's a working thing because I'm getting feedback, I'm adjusting it. But I have a good point in my mind of where I stand and our value. Okay. And I think that was the value I got from it. So whether I tweak a word here and there to appeal to the architect or versus the developer who understands it differently, the initial essence of what I'm trying to say and the value I'm trying to portray is there, and it stands the same. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk then in our final segment. We're talking with Corinne M. today. We are keeping her anonymity. She is from, are you from Canada?
I am. I'm based out of Montreal.
Okay, yeah, I heard a little Canadian. You slipped there, and I heard it. I can't remember. It was the first sentence, though, but then I haven't heard it since then. But I've got a lot of clients in Canada, and I love you guys. You guys are great. Okay.
We're big fans of you. Yes.
Oh yeah. Big fans. So your question is, how do I position this up front in a call where I don't have a lot of time to
go on and on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say I'm calling first call. That's initially where, if I meet them in person, they see me, I can play with that.
A little different.
But when I'm doing the first call, This is such a vague and general big thing I'm selling. How can I make it efficient and say that and use those 15 seconds really well?
Okay. So we're going to go back way back in time to the first 2 minutes of our conversation today. You said, I want to build a machine. I want to build a lead generation machine so that leads are coming in from various places. I love that. I would rather focus on that. And we don't have time to focus on that. Maybe we can have you back on and do it again sometime, because cold calling is just one element of that machine. Cold outreach is just one element. So, you know, I don't know how many sessions and trainings I've done on cold calling, and it's like, oh God, it's the same. But I understand you have to have something to say when you make calls like this. That's why I like making an offer for a free thing that is valuable to them on those calls, rather than you having feeling that pressure and burden to craft this perfect message in 13.5 seconds that gets them to say, exactly. Oh, where have you been, Kareen? Come in right now. I've got money waiting for you in the closet. So, so that's the challenge with a cold call. But so in the absence of, if you're just making the call to what, hope you book an appointment, is that the longer appointment? What's the purpose?
So I don't want to leave anything on the table.
What do you mean by that?
I want, because I've done cold calls in the past, so I've worked for like payroll and stuff like that, and sometimes it's worked out, and some of the deals I've gotten were good deals.
Yeah.
So to me, it's consistent practicing of saying the message. So whether I do five calls a day, or to me, it's just to keep it going.
Yeah.
And that I get feedback. Yeah. So I receive back from the cold calls as well. That's the way I position it, because I hate doing them, but I think it's good to do them.
Whoa. Why do you hate doing them?
Because I think I prefer the human interaction of it.
Of course. That was a silly question that I had to ask, but everybody hates. I mean, some people say, oh no, I get excited about cold call. No, you don't. Here's the choice. You got five inbound people who are trying to get a hold of you to buy something, or you've got 100 cold calls to make. Which one are you going to do? You're going to respond to the people who are calling in. So it's okay. So when you say you don't like it, I understand. So we need to get you out of it. The quicker we can get you out of cold calling and into a machine that generates leads for you, the better. But until we do that, you still have to make outbound calls, because who knows, you may, what is the saying, a blind hog roots up an ear of corn every once in a while. So you may just come across somebody at the right time. So I'm all for it. So now let's talk about how to do it effectively. Mm-hmm. The principle in cold calling, the principle, and I love to come back to principles, because I don't think we spend enough time on these core principles. And if we can follow these, then everything gets easier. Core principle is meet them where they are.
Okay.
Meet them where they are. So where are they when the phone rings and it's you? Where are they mentally?
Excited, enthusiastic.
Where are they mentally? I don't mean where are they in their car or in the field. I mean, mentally, where are they when that phone rings and it's from somebody they don't know?
Yeah. So you mean tone of voice?
Yeah. Where are they? Are they suspicious? Are they reluctant? Are they angry? Mm-hmm. They're probably some of those things. They're not eager to talk to you, unless, of course, they're expecting your call, but most of these people aren't.
No.
So the principle is, let's meet them where they are. So meeting somebody where they are when they're reluctant and suspicious and not eager to talk to you sounds like this. Hi, this is Kareen from ABC Company. Look, I need to tell you right up front, I have no idea if what I do would be of any value to you or any interest to you. We work with companies in the area of A, B, and C. What I was hoping to do is grab a minute of your time, tell you a little bit more about what we do, and then you can tell me either to go away, or if there's any reason to talk, I'm happy to do that. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. So you're meeting them where they are, because not only are they resistant, you're resistant. Look, I didn't want to make this call. No, I mean, I didn't want to make this call. I don't know if I'm saying that. You might. But if you get really good at this, you can say that.
Yeah.
Hey, Kareen, Bill Caskey, you know what? It was up to my boss. It was up to my boss, so I had to make this call. But otherwise, I wouldn't do it. So let me tell you what. They'll laugh. And now you have some rapport, because they don't want to take the call. You don't want to make the call. So we are now in rapport. And this is going to sound really strange to people, because people say, well, I would never say that to a prospect. I didn't want to make the call. What's he going to think of me? He's not thinking of you, or she's not. They're thinking of themselves. They're thinking, why did I answer this damn call? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So if you can bond a little bit and rapport and say, look, you know what? I make a lot of these calls. Some people love what I say. Some people don't. I don't know where you're going to be, but let me tell you what I do. And then you tell me if you want to talk further. That's the best cold call you can make.
Yeah. So you don't even talk about the company. You just say, you introduce yourself and just say the reason.
Yeah, I would just introduce myself. Say, look, I have no idea if anything that we do is useful. Is it okay if I give you 30 seconds on the company on what we do? And they'll say, yeah, sure. Well, we help architects and developers to manage, you know, whatever you do. And again, I don't know if this kind of service would be anything you'd even like to discuss. But I was hoping if you would, we could set up a call later because I'm sure you're in the middle of something right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to tell them what you do and what kind of problem you solve by doing that.
But I see what you mean about breaking it down into steps, whereas like, yes, move forward, yes, move forward. And then whereas what I've been doing is kind of breaking it and just lumping it into 15 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's too much pressure. It's too much pressure on you to say, I've got to craft this thing beautifully in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
That's why I like the first step is, look, I'm like you. I don't want to make this call. You don't want to take this call. So let me share with you. Let me share with you 15 seconds on the company, what we do, why we do it. And then you can tell me if you want to set up a call where we can talk a little bit further. Again, I don't know if this is a fit for you. I want to push back so hard on this call by saying, I don't know if this is a fit. I don't know if this would be value to you because that's where they are. We have the principle is to meet them where they are. Okay. So you can go back and listen to this and I'll send you the recording so you can get some of that language and get the tonality down too. You know, how do you deliver that? I don't know if this is of value to you. It's probably not the way to do it. Look, you know what? I'm sure you get tons of calls like this and I make a lot of calls. So I don't know if this is a fit. Why don't I tell you what we do? And then you tell me if you want to talk further. It's that, it's that kind of tone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can you do that?
Not be a beat.
Not be what?
A beat, like the tone. Just be like, oh, I'm tired of making these calls.
Yeah, that's probably a good tone to have.
Okay.
I mean, you're not.
I can tone into that.
Yeah, you can tune into that. I'm not saying it. I want you to change your tone, following the principle of meeting them where they are. Because where they are is not eager and can't wait to talk to you. That's not where they are.
Exactly. Okay. I see.
Yeah. Okay. So you go back and listen to this. And we've been speaking with Corinne today, coaching session. So what are a couple lessons here? I always like to leave coaching sessions with lessons. What did you learn today in our conversation that can help you?
So I think it's something I've been playing with is, I think I'm a perfectionist at heart. So it's something I have to work on a lot about, okay, taking something and breaking it into smaller chunks. And then if that's too much, just breaking it into even smaller chunks. So taking the approach into just, you know, the way I approach the free document or the actual call itself of prospecting, of breaking into even smaller chunks.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds so easy, yeah. But am I doing it? Maybe not. Maybe I have to look at it again and break it into smaller bits again.
Well, here, I'll leave you with this because I appreciate you admitting your perfectionist tendencies and that will get in the way. So you just have to look at everything as a test. Everything is an experiment and experiments are meant to fail. You know, how many times did Edison fail on the way to the light bulb? Or I think he was a light bulb dude. But you have to look at these as experiments, and you are the guide. You are the guide along the customer's journey from where they are to where they want to be. That's your role as the guide. It's not to sell them; it's to guide them. Well, what does the guide do? The guide doesn't take a beginner and put him on the tallest mountain and say, "Okay, we're going to climb Mount Everest." No, because that beginner ain't ready yet. What the guide would say is, look, you got to climb this little ant hill first. When you get over that, we'll go to a bigger hill and then a bigger hill. And then we'll improve your gear and your tools and your t- technology and we'll get your cardio so that by the time you get to Mount Everest, you're ready. And that's the same way in sales. I think we take too big a step sometimes. And we expect our magical language to take somebody from don't know we exist to booking a call. And I some people can do that. Most people can't. And that's why most people don't make cold calls, because it's a big ask to go from I don't know you to do you want to have lunch sometime?
Yes.
But what are the small steps along the way? What can I give away? And that's why I like this idea of a checklist or a trends list. These are the five trends. I'd like to share it with you. What's your email address? I'll be sure to get it to you. Then maybe you send a video to them, text a video to them. Hey, John, really good talking with you today. It is on the way. It'll look like this. And you know, one of the things I'd like to bring your attention to is number six. This is me holding up the camera. So, now you're building a little bit of a relationship with this person that you started on the phone call cold. Now it's becoming a little warmer. And then when you send him that email or that PDF, make it a little fun. I mean, make it a little playful, not flirtatious, but just, hey, I hope you got my video, you know, didn't have my makeup on, or I was in a weird spot. I know lighting was bad, but here's this. And now they start to say, hey, I kind of like this person. This person's someone I want to spend some more time with. That's all you need. Okay. So hopefully that is the bow on the package today.
That was perfect. Yeah.
We've been speaking with Corinne today. And again, I'm not using her last name because I don't want to out her. But she is a business development manager, and she has agreed to do coaching. She's part of our $1 Million Seller program. If you want to learn more about that experience, you can go to BillKasky.com/$1 Million Seller. I'll put the link in the show notes. Corinne, you're awesome. Thanks for your time today. Thanks for
putting yourself. Thank you so much, Bill. Very insightful. Thank you.
See ya.